ready?
Great, thank you.
Okay, welcome to our April 6th, 2016 Adult Education Block Grant meeting. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 9:10 a.m. and I will take roll call. Tony Bauer.
Here.
Ray McDonald.
Here.
And I am Melissa Marino, and we note that Micheline Miklas is absent. In spite of her absence, we have a quorum. Mm-hmm. And our next agenda item is to welcome everyone to our meeting, and we have a few informational items. So I have been working very closely with Coilay, and we have been on the weekly Friday telephone calls with the AEBG office in Sacramento, and we have some reporting items coming due. We have a new annual report that's coming due in the summer. So I want to remind you that when we began, we submitted our first annual report and a three-year plan. Mm-hmm. So that three-year plan outlines our first, second, and third year of operations. And so we need to do a new annual plan. And so Corley and I will be revisiting our three-year plan and making sure our second-year annual plan is aligned with our three-year plan and aligned with what we're doing. We probably will want to establish a committee, and we'll defer that to our discussion item later on in the agenda. We'll want to establish a subcommittee for constructing our annual plan, much like we did last time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what is coming due immediately is any amendments that we want to make to our existing plan before we do a biannual report, and those amendments will be due on May 15th. And so what we are waiting for is quarterly reports from all of our program leads that will help us to determine whether any amendments are in order.
Okay.
We're not anticipating any, but you never know when you know, the quarterly reports come in. We may have program leads that have certain challenges and ask for amendments, so we're going to wait. And we will look at those amendments at our next meeting and approve any amendments so that we meet the deadline of May 15th. And so the timeline for deliverables keeps changing in Sacramento, and our immediate one is on our agenda. We have one approval item today, and it's a consortium fiscal administration declaration that's pretty straightforward. Corley and I completed that over this last week, and we will be showing you that, and we need your approval and signature today on those. Well, we're going to attempt to get your approval and signatures today. Everybody is in agreement. And then,
is that this document?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure I had it.
Yes, those are in your packet. And then the Workforce Board research is an item, information item presented by Ray today. Mm-hmm. Ray?
Oh, so am I up?
I think so.
Should we move to?
Oh yeah, you should probably.
Would you like me to pull up the PowerPoint?
Yeah, if you pull up the PowerPoint and
we're gonna move.
And then yeah, otherwise you're you're gonna need a mirror to see.
Blind
to see it. So. Oh, I can do it from here. I can do it.
And let me turn this on.
So which island did you?
Hitachi. So anyway, so as thank you very much for indulging me in this, but I guess I am a bit of a nerd because I really do enjoy this sort of stuff. And one of the foundations of the workforce system, and I think that's very important for the work that we do at AEBG, is sector strategies. And so at our most recent workforce board meeting, which was March 18th, we had a presentation by our researcher, BW Research, Josh Williams, on our sectors, updating us on our sectors for Santa Barbara County. Back in 2011, we actually approved certain sectors, which was responsible for doing, and I'll cover that in a second. But this is an update, and it has to be done on a fairly regular basis. So we do it every 18 months or so, updating our sectors. And so one of the things that I want to do is to share this with this group, but I'm also going to be sharing it with the Community College Consortium that Diane Hollams co-chairs, because what we're trying to do is to make sure that, to the extent possible, that various parts of the system, and by the system, I mean education system, workforce system, economic development system, are focusing on the same sectors, because then we're all moving moving the needle or moving the dial together. So that's kind of the introduction. And again, this is 50 slides. I'm not going to do 50 slides. So
thank goodness.
I'm going to scroll through some of the preamble here, which talks about why we do the research and talks a little bit about the county and the region and what industry sectors are and why we should do it and that sort of stuff. So I'm just going to, but I will pause here for a second to talk a little bit about the Santa Barbara Regional Employment. And as you can see, there's more employment in the South County than there is in the North County. That's not a big surprise to anybody, with less than central part of the county. Central part of the county is places like San Ynez, Lompoc, Buellton. But of course, that's related to population, and traditionally, Lompoc has been a bedroom community. There's a better representation of this coming up, so I didn't want to spend too much time. The second thing that I do want us to think about, because it's one of the foundations that we use in our workforce board, is that we have a three-tier approach to occupations. Tier one, tier two, and tier three, with tier one being the highest paying occupations with the most skills required, and those things like lawyers, doctors, and the median income for those are $92,000. So it relates to education, it relates to expertise and skill level, and it also relates to financial reward. The tier two is our sweet spot. That's what we're trying to do in workforce systems. We're trying to get as many people into the tier two jobs as possible. Those are jobs that do require some training. They're middle wage jobs, middle skill, and the median income for those is $44,200. And that doesn't seem like a lot, but again, we're not talking about the average. We're talking about median. We're talking about right in the middle. And then what we have, and you'll see in a second, a lot of in Santa Barbara County is tier three jobs, and those are jobs with little skill required, but they're also very low wage. So here's a representation on how does tier one, tier two, and tier three break out between the county as a whole, our region, as well as California, and as well as the United States. And as you can see, looking at tier two, just looking down that middle column of tier two jobs, which is the important jobs for us, Santa Barbara County has 38% of our jobs are tier two jobs. Central Coast has 37, so we're doing a little bit better than that. But California as a whole has 40%, and the United States has 43%. But then you look at the tier three jobs, which are low-paying jobs, Santa Barbara has 42%, and then jump down to California, 33%. So we're almost 10 points higher in having those low-wage jobs than the state as a whole. That's not good. That means that if you want to be critical, you can say, Ray, you're not doing your job. Because you're supposed to have more people in tier two than in tier three. So that's my challenge. Then it does it by regions. I again, I'm going to send this I have sent it out to Coralie and Melissa, and I'll make sure that the rest of the group gets it so you can take a better look at that and you can see for your region. But it's obvious, again, Tier 3 has 51% of the jobs in North County. 51% of the jobs in North County are Tier 3 jobs. That tells you agriculture, probably, all right? People, when I do that in front of a group of folks, and as we did at the Workforce Board, where we have a majority of our members actually happen to be from the north part of the county, they were not happy about that. However, facts don't lie. And then this is one that you guys might want to use. This is educational attainment, and surprise, surprise, there is a relationship between those types of jobs and educational attainment. You see, North County. 10%, we're talking about bachelor's or graduate degrees, 10%, less than 10% in the North County, whereas the South County has a little bit more than 25%. I mean, the tail right there. This is an interesting one that you just might want to take a chance to look at, is residents versus the workforce. And the green line, if you can see, okay, this is green and this is blue, just so you know when I refer to it. The blue line is the number of people in various types of jobs employed in Santa Barbara County. So management, business, science is this one, and then there's service, and then there's sales, et cetera, et cetera. The blue line, again, is the number of people employed in those fields in Santa Barbara County. So for just using the management one, 89,809. But of that amount, 69,000 of those actually live in the county. So 20,000 of the people with these management jobs don't live in the county, and of course that has to do with our real estate. So there is a relationship. So that's a good one to take a chance to look at. I just wanted to point that out. Then I'm going to skip through most of these, except I will stop here. These were our original industry sectors, right? The ones that. And Melissa, I believe you were on the regional collaborative when I presented those, and I know that there's an overlap with our community college collaborative on most of those. Again, healthcare, energy, environment, building, and design. That includes construction, technology and innovation, business support services, which is a kind of a grab bag, and then agriculture, tourism, and wineries. There's a lot of dispute, once again, in the North County, folks, about that, and so we did make that change. This is the criteria for designating those areas as industry clusters for us, or industry sectors for us. We using the words industry sectors and clusters interchangeably, just so you know. There's probably a reason not to do that, but for our purposes. So I'm going to jump forward to, I am going to go back to this. So these are the new ones, and I'll stop on this as my last slide. These are new sectors that were, in fact, approved, and then I'm going to tell you a little bit. There's an asterisk. It's sort of like when Roger Maris broke Babe Ruth's record. There was an asterisk there because they played more games or something, so there is an asterisk on this. But I'll tell you that in a second. But anyway, so we kept health care, energy and the environment, but it now includes waste treatment and disposal. Building and design now includes manufacturing, retail, and wholesale suppliers. Remember I said manufacturing because I'm going to come back to that in a minute. Aerospace vehicles and defense is a brand new one because we wanted to take in something that had to do with, want to acknowledge Vandenberg, okay? About time. It's kind of big, you know? it's a big deal. Biotechnology and related devices, and we kind of had that thrown in with technology and innovation, but we're kind of breaking it out now. Information and communication technologies also is part of technology. So what we've done with technology is that we're basically trying redefining that a little bit more and breaking it out more discreetly. Business services now includes a lot of online services because business services has changed so much in the way that they're delivered online, so we want to include that. And now we've gone back to that agriculture issue. It used to be agriculture, tourism, and wineries. Now we're making it food, beverage, and agriculture. And that was after a lot of debates and a lot of discussion with folks in the North County who are engaged in this area.
They felt better about breaking the tourism out of the other grouping that we had when it was agriculture, tourism, and wineries. And now tourism, which was formerly part of that group, stands on its own by itself. So now I'm going to talk about the asterisk, and then I'll be done, and we can move on the agenda. What happened at the board meeting was that there was there were some concerns raised. I almost said pushback, but I don't think it was really a pushback. But there were some concerns raised by a couple of board members in two areas. One had to do with manufacturing, because they want to have manufacturing as its own sector. But our researcher, and I agree with the researcher, feels that manufacturing kind of flows through sectors. And so there's manufacturing that goes on in a lot of those other sectors that we talked about. And so to break it out individually, didn't ring true from a research point of view. And I'll tell you in a minute how I'm going to resolve that. So that was one area that was discussed, and they asked me to take a look at that and see what I could do acknowledge those concerns of those board members who had that, and so I'll tell you how I'm going to approach it in a second. And then the other area had to do with the bugaboo, which is really kind of one of those that's a no-win situation for us, given the workforce foundation. One of the workforce foundations is that workforce is here to help residents, help people get jobs in the private sector. Now, we all know in Santa Barbara, education, where some of us work in, government, where some of us work in, is a very, very large a sector of jobs. There are lots of people. There are lots of people who can get into government with very little skills, work their way up to high-paying jobs. But my federal law really focuses us on private sector jobs. So, Steve Levenino, by the way, Supervisor Levenino, is on the workforce board. I know that this is an issue for him too, but he kind of plays both ways on it. So that was raised, that there's so many jobs in education. Somebody quoted at the board meeting that K through 12 is going to have a huge turnover, the graying of the workforce, apparently in the next several years coming up. I forgot what it was, maybe it was 10 years or whatever it is, but they're talking about 800 new jobs or something like that. New jobs, and as well as refill jobs or replacement jobs. So they wanted us to look at that too. So those were the two areas. One's light manufacturing, and this is mostly from the North County. Again, they have a manufacturing group up there that they really feel is important. I've spoken before that group, and they feel that that's one of the engines. They want to bring manufacturing back, those good-paying manufacturing jobs. And there's been a study that just came out that I'm going to try to find the full study and send that and share that with everybody, that just came out in the Bay Area about how manufacturing can come back in this new age when we don't have people building cars and assembling our iPhones here in the U.S., but they're being done elsewhere, how we can in fact have manufacturing, but it's a new take on it. So my approach to those two questions, manufacturing as well as governmental jobs, is that we're not going to call them industry sectors, and we're not going to designate them as industry sectors, but we're going to call them occupational clusters, is my proposal that I'm going to take to the board in July, that we call them occupational clusters, which means that we can support them, but we cannot support them with our eligible training providers list, which is a way that we issue vouchers to our customers to actually get trained. But we can support it in other ways, such as on-the-job training, employer-based training. So if we get an employer that comes in and needs people trained in a certain area, or if we have a group that's going to support training for governmental employees of some sort, or have an initiative in that way, we can legitimately involve ourselves. Otherwise, I'd have to have hands off, and we couldn't couldn't even pursue funding if I didn't have some sort of a mandate to service those areas, light manufacturing as well as governmental employees, which includes education. So that's kind of my presentation. I kind of geek out on this sort of stuff. lots of good numbers in there. Again, this is slide number what? I don't know what the slide number is on this. This is slide number 19, and as I said, there are 50 slides in the presentation, so I just touched the surface on this. I think it's a really good one to have. Yes, Melissa?
So I have a question about a report. Did BW do a research report that I could have access to? Because these
absolutely.
Because these industry clusters inform our career technical education training programs on some level. So I'd love to see some of that.
Now, hopefully, unlike Tony, you do occasionally visit the Workforce Board website because it is posted on the Workforce.
Oh, it is.
It is.
Excellent. Yeah. Love to
from the from the last meeting. So what you have to do is go on the front page, and then on to the right hand side is the agendas from the March meeting and the reports, and it's right there.
Excellent.
And
you can
download it, and then it's in PDF form, so then you can just download the PDF.
And this is also something we need to consider.
In our
work in the adult education.
I think so.
All CTE, because this is going to carry over into the high schools as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe you will go.
Yes, I will.
Now you will.
Actually, I will.
How many CTE?
Thank you, Ray.
Sure. I have a question though, Ray, because I know we've been talking about aligning systems a little bit.
Exactly.
And so California has got 15 industry sectors. Clusters already identified. Is this, you're now...
California, you mean the state?
The state and the CDE.
CDE has, yes, okay.
And I thought the state did too. I thought the state adopted the 15 industry sectors.
I think the state may have adopted them, but so many different systems are adopting industry sectors or industry clusters that it's kind of hard to keep track of all of whom's adopting, but the intent is that at least at the local level that the multiple systems try to align themselves. We have an economic vitality task force that made up of the chambers,
right.
And so I'm going to be talking to them about this so that they focus some of their concentration on some of these clusters. It doesn't have to be all nine of them, but if we can have as much of an overlap as possible, that's the goal. And hopefully that kind of answered your question.
Well, and the Doing What Matters campaign at the state level has identified their own sectors that are different from here.
So there needs to be some alignment, I think, throughout all the different systems. Cause
that's exactly the intent.
That's the problem we've had in the past. K-12 does their own thing. The community colleges are off doing their own things. The universities are off doing their own, because we all have different mandates. And workforce development is out doing their own thing, and no one's really talking to each other, I think.
Well, they're trying to make that happen at the local level, so it's locally driven. And what would be helpful, given what we're talking about right now, is if the state didn't have its overarching ones, like you say, CDE, or if the California State Workforce Development Board has some, and I don't know if they do or don't, but they should probably not do that, because then that kind of it impinges upon our ability to kind of align our systems at the local level. If what we're trying to do is to satisfy somebody in Sacramento who says that we have to have, I'm going to make one up, we have to have health care,
right.
If they say that, but if we don't need health care here locally, which we do in fact, but if we didn't need it locally, then we would still be forced to somehow adopt or respond to the fact that our cognizant agency in Sacramento has designated healthcare as a sector for the entire state.
No,
so
I'm a big believer in meet the local need.
Yeah.
Top down doesn't work.
Yeah.
Just because somebody at the state this week decides that healthcare is important doesn't mean that it fits our local economies or local needs.
Mm-hmm.
I was kind of curious, you had biotech on one of them. Is that a growing industry in our region?
Yeah, and again, it's in South County. It is South County.
It's medical device.
But you had, I think you had three counties in your in the region, right?
I'm sorry. You said region, not our county. I'm sorry. I thought you said the county. And our county is definitely growing. I don't know about Slow, Monterey, or Santa Cruz. Those are the other counties that are in our workforce region.
Okay.
May I ask a question? Am I allowed to?
I don't know. I'm not conducting the meeting.
It's just on building and design. Was there a forecast made for construction and real estate?
Yes.
So, which means that maybe there is a linkage with education, with the construction technology program associated with the forecast of real estate and housing.
Well, I think what might be helpful is if we do, we take these industry sectors based on
research.
Yeah,
we can call sectors.
And then do a crosswalk to the industry sectors identified by the state, you know, so which one would food, beverage, and agriculture fit into at the state level?
Okay.
And we have sort of that charted out so that we know in what way we are aligned. And then I'd almost like to work on this with my CTE dean to then align these sectors with our programming, much like you say, where our construction, for example, one CTE program is construction technology, and what which industry sector would that fit into in here? And it would be the building and design, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But we have probably 35 other CTE programs that we would like to align in, and perhaps this informs new programs.
Yeah, I think so.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much. Okay.
Good stuff.
So, moving right along.
I'll turn off the.
Oh, I can.
Okay.
Our next agenda item is to approve the March 2016 meeting minutes, which is in your packet.
I did look at those.
So if...
And I'm willing to make a motion.
Okay. Please do.
I did.
Second.
Second.
Okay.
Seconded.
All those in favor of approving the March...
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. No's.
No no's and no abstentions.
Okay. Our next item is the approval of the Consortium Fiscal Administration Declaration. So this comes from the AEBG Office of the State, and they're asking us really to re-up, if you will, our fiscal plan. And so Corley and I worked on this, and basically what this is reaffirming who our fiscal agency is and how we've intended to allocate funding. And one of the things that we did when we first formed in our governance plan was we designated Santa Barbara City College as a fiscal agent, and we decided to be a fiscal agent-driven consortium. And the other thing we did, which in my humble opinion has turned out to be rather brilliant for the ease of reporting, was we allocated 100% of the funds to a single member, Santa Barbara City College. So I'm just reminding you of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that means is everything then goes through our accounting office and our reporting becomes super simple. And I think given the size of our area, that makes sense. So we would strongly encourage the board to
Did other people
continue.
Do it in different ways?
Right.
I'm thinking within our county. Is North County doing it differently?
I would have to look, but most consortiums are allocating to different organizations, which creates a fiscal reporting nightmare.
Because all those organizations have to report?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And
separately.
Do they have to report in through the consortium, or... How is that
Corley played? Corley can speak to that and what the problems are that have bubbled to the surface.
Yeah, just trying to see
this.
What the other methodology is.
Yeah.
Exactly. It seems to be a little bit more cumbersome to have reporting separately by programs. And cumbersome in the sense where there's people are not getting their deliverables in on time, and some of them, some consortium haven't necessarily hired a coordinator to coordinate everything.
Oh, God.
So they're relying on their own their consortium to do that organizing. And so you have almost too many cooks in the kitchen, I want to say at this point, but it's actually advantageous for us to have one agent where the funding, or all of the budgets have been delineated, or will be, and then they're sent through myself as a conduit to then work with our fiscal office at City College. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, it's advantageous for us to have a little checks and balances, because I'm the first point of contact that the all of the reporting goes through. Mm-hmm. Then it's also overseen by the City College. Now, if it's not, if you don't have that structure in place, well, we presume, but with other consortiums that haven't set up this structure, then there. You really don't, it's the state that's going back to each consortium having to say, okay, here are some flags.
I almost kind of like it. Put them in problems, but no.
And so, right. And so, but what we've done, I think, that has ended up facilitating, it's really working out.
It is.
We're effectively allocating funding to different programs without actually allocating it as far as the state is concerned,
right.
So that we have a single reporting system.
Okay. No, I didn't want to change it. I just wanted to know.
No, it's a good question, though.
I just wanted to know why idiots would do something a different way. Even.
And so they all have different reporting obligations, and everybody has different standards, and we have now a single standard, and everything that goes by Corlay's desk goes by my desk before it goes to the accounting office. So that's how we did it this year, and we saw how it worked, and we're very proud of what we did and to simplify. I mean, it was an unknown doing it this way, how that would work, right? But we seem like we feel like that was a brilliant decision
definitely
by the consortium.
Now I definitely want to know what they're doing in North County.
Yeah. you can look. They're public documents of how they allocate. So you can see here on page... This is a two-sided document, so if you go to page 3, you see the allocation is 100% allocated to Santa Barbara Community College District for 16-17.
So $23,000 increase, huh?
Yes.
Nice.
And we have the same for the next year.
Just run right out and grab a...
So we will be looking at this and how we... technically not allocate, but how we share and spend it with different organizations. Mm-hmm. So that's coming up with our next annual plan. Uh-huh. And then that's
where it ties into what when you were saying our three-year plan, and we want to see where we are after the first year, and if we want to do any tweaks to the second year type of thing. Okay, so and it all falls together, Melissa.
It does. And then we had to revise the organizational chart.
Oh, my God.
And you'll see that Corlay has been included in purple. So she is a new,
she's the purple
a new person on the organizational chart. But we didn't change anything else.
Oh, okay.
This.
So the purple
and
person.
So this will, I know it's kind of hard to read, but...
That's all right.
This will, so we need this to be approved and signed by our consortium members.
Okay.
And then we have, you know, I wrote with Corlay the rationale and the approach. So I just want to review this on page 2. It's basically what I just said, that we unanimously agreed to use SBCC as a fiscal agent given its experience and convenience for fiscal operations. And our approach is that the consortium agreed to allocate all funds to a single member to enable the ease in fund management. Mm-hmm. And the coordinator is responsible for tracking the approved budget and all expenditures related to all program areas. Each program area has a program lead who reports expenditures directly to the coordinator. Coordinator verifies the consortium approved expenditure, so she goes back to the request for proposals that were approved to make sure that these are aligned, and then verifies the expenditure and obtains approval by the chair, which is me, and then we submit that and only then would we submit it for payment by the fiscal agent. Mm-hmm. And the fiscal agent, by the way, has its own fiscal responsibilities to make sure that all expenditures are aligned with the grant. And each of the program leads have a consortium-approved budget, which we all approved during the request for proposal mm-hmm. process. Fiscal agent has created an AEBG account. So basically, we have opened an account with $750,000 in it, and we are spending that down by program area. And we're working with our fiscal agent, the certifying official, who is Tanya Yeskis, to somehow, we're trying to figure out how we identify expenditures to program in our system.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working on that.
And she's out of the Santa Barbara City College
accounting department.
Yeah. Okay.
And she's our certifying
okay.
official
okay.
for all grants. She's the grants.
This is great. In fact, I have to say I'm envious because I remember, you know, we started here from scratch, and I'm starting more or less from scratch, reinventing the workforce system. And this is so far ahead of us.
Yeah.
I'm so angry.
Well, and then this is aligned with our original governance
yeah.
plan. And
yeah.
So.
Do you need a motion?
Well, what we're doing, yeah, is reaffirming our original plan, and we do need to have a motion to approve this document.
Well, it's under discussion item only, though.
No,
it's not. It says
approval. Oh, you're right.
Approval.
Look at the wrong one. You're right. No, I'm mm-hmm. sorry. Look at the wrong line.
Uh-huh.
I'll make a motion to approve.
And I'll second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
There are no noes or abstentions.
Okay.
So we will be sure to get your signature on these documents before you leave.
Yeah.
Well,
this pen doesn't write, so I can't.
And then I alluded to the discussion items in the informational section, mm-hmm. but we've pretty much already addressed the amendments that are due on May 15th.
Yeah.
We'll be informed by our quarterly reports that are due on Friday
mm-hmm.
from our program leads.
Mm-hmm.
And then our annual plan, I would like to actually set up a subcommittee to write the annual plan to present to the board. Corley, what's our timeline for presenting the annual plan? That needs to be approved in the summer. We don't have a date for that yet, right?
Right. So the AEBG office recently relayed all of the information, everything, this Monday. This past Monday. And so it consists of their guidance, their template, and so even on their official form, it says it will be due in July.
So we don't
but no date.
No date.
Okay. So we have that. So the template's been released.
Uh-huh.
The guidance document has been released. So I think it's time for us to start working on
mm-hmm.
that, because we want that to come in June, because we are dark in July. Didn't we decide not to have a meeting in July?
That's correct.
Yeah. So we want that before this board by June. So I'm going to propose that we create a subcommittee of myself, Corley, and one other consortium member. I'm looking at Ray, because
unless Tony doesn't want to do it, I'll do it.
Because last time you did it and you literally fell off the responsibility because of you fell off the stairwell.
Oh. Yeah, no, I was at home and I actually fell. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
I remember.
So we would love to invite you back, and
so
hopefully
I won't fall this time. Yeah, Clarissa knows that because she was the one taking me back and forth to the doctor.
Oh boy. Well, so let's create that subcommittee.
Okay.
And that way, I mean, Corley and I will do most of the heavy lifting, but it'd be nice to run things
yeah.
by you before we bring it back to a consortium.
Okay.
That would be really helpful.
Okay.
Appreciated. And let's see. Well, unless there's anything further, Corley, is there anything I missed on this?
Nothing at all. It's just to really stress that the dates have still yet to be determined. We have our three deliverables.
We have no idea what that means. What that's
exactly.
like.
Our reporting from our partners
mm-hmm.
is coming up. It's due this Friday.
Right.
We have also any amendments, as noted here in the agenda, to the annual plan from last year, May 15th. The next one will be in July, which is the annual plan. The state has yet to inform us about student data reporting, yet to be determined, likely in August. So once we get those that information, then we can disclose a little bit more to the consortium and the public to, so that we can meet those deadlines.
Right.
The only thing that I would think, and I don't know whether just to kind of keep in front of all of us, because we talked about this before, is that, you know, and I've said it a couple of times here today, what they're doing in the North County. I still kind of want to figure out a way to kind of do something jointly with them. I mean, some sort of a meeting, even if it's not the entire consortium that they have up there, but
they have two consortiums up there, because Lompoc Unified has their own adult ed program.
Well, no, they're part of the Hancock Consortium.
I thought they had their own funding stream. Their own.
They may have gotten
well, they
it.
They had, okay, well, I can explain that.
Oh, okay.
We had maintenance of effort funding that went to the K-12 districts, the first round of allocations from the state, that now have gone to the consortium for this next fiscal year. So now the consortium controls all of the funding, and then they would allocate to Lompoc, but Lompoc Unified is part of the Allen Hancock Consortium. And we decided as a group that we were going to pursue a joint meeting, and they're doing the same, they had the same idea
to
do a joint meeting. And so I don't know where we are on that, but we are pursuing a joint meeting in September.
Then I don't have to mention it again. Okay. Fantastic.
So, but this is good. But thank you, Ray. It's so important, the need to collaborate.
And we wanted to invite the Cuesta, San Luis Obispo.
San Luis also.
Well. So we'll see how that plays out. But I think we're planning on doing that in September.
Okay. That, does the North? I wonder if the North County has a correlate. Do they have a counterpart to you?
I
see, that's the whole thing.
I'm not sure.
I think so. I think
they recently
hired someone.
Okay.
I'm not sure if it's North or I maybe get confused.
Oh, it might be Cuesta.
It might be Cuesta.
Okay. Well, we will
That's
let
all.
You know, and then
Artis would be your counterpart, wouldn't she?
Artis is retired,
yeah.
So there's
oh.
someone else. Now,
yeah, she retired. I think officially in December, last December.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to
Sophia.
Yeah,
so Ramirez, I want to say, but that's probably wrong.
I don't remember.
I don't think I know her.
So I'm going to officially adjourn
okay.
the meeting at 9:52, and thank you very much.
And you can almost make your meeting on campus.
Almost. I'm going to try.
Okay.
Go.
And I'm still envious.